What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network. Happy Tuesday. Chris Meany here with you. Appreciate the time to hang out. Lot to get to, as per usual, with just the NFL draft a couple of days away. We are going to talk a lot of football here on this show. We are going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, now a member of the New York Jets. We're going to go over some of the odds for the New York Jets to win the AFC East, to win the AFC, to win the Super Bowl, and their win total slightly juiced, currently sitting at 9.5. I asked a lot of people yesterday on Twitter where they would rank the New York Jets in the AFC and just overall in the NFL with the addition of Aaron Rodgers. And I think a lot of people are still just pretty sour on this Jets team. I would put them in just below the tier of Cincinnati and Kansas City, and I still like Buffalo more than the New York Jets. Now, the Bills are going to have to do some work via in the draft, which is just a couple days away. I think they need to get themselves a wide receiver, whether they do that late in the first or a little bit later on throughout the NFL draft. I definitely think that they are going to take a wide receiver. They've been hosting a lot of wide receiver prospects over the past few weeks. Take that with a grain of salt if you want. We will go over some of the NFL draft pick odds via DraftKings. It's pretty interesting to see some of the movement over the past little bit, especially Will Levis. Will Levis, do we have the graphic that George made? I thought it was hysterical, actually. So this was reported last night from Mr. Roval. Big movement in the NFL draft overnight. Will Levis moved from 50-1 to 20-1 to go number one overall at PointsBet. Just moved again to 10-1. In fact, currently, right now, to be the first overall pick, the odds have changed from minus 2,000 to minus 1,600 for, of course, Bryce Young. But yeah, just behind him is Will Levis. So we're going to go over some of the draft odds in just a little bit. I'm trying to find it here on the fly. Should have had it. Great host. Here it is. Pick number. He's now plus 500. Plus 500, not 10-1, which we made that graphic, I don't know, an hour ago, coming at you live here every day, noon Eastern and on Game Plus Network by the time you're watching. I mean, it may be 250-1. I don't know. I don't think we can get too crazy about this. I remember Mac Jones, his draft odds changing considerably leading up to the draft. Remember, there's a lot of report because San Fran made the move and they jumped a couple teams. We all knew they were going to draft a quarterback, but you know, Vegas really was leaning towards Mac Jones and a lot of people as well. And that just wasn't the case. Maybe they would have been better off with Mac Jones and Trey Lance, but I have my final version of the NFL mock draft, and I was sitting and staring at it all night. And again, this morning, I could make 100 changes. I tried to stick to what I think teams will do as opposed to what I think they should do. For example, like, what are the Texans doing at pick two? Are they going to actually draft Will Levis? Are they going to take a defensive player? Are they going to move back? Like, I think they should take CJ Stroud. We'll get into it in a little bit, but it doesn't sound like they are going to take CJ Stroud. But at the same time, nobody knows. It's all an educated guess. We can take all these visits and use it to our advantage. We can take a look at Vegas and draft odds to use it to our advantage as well. But I'm going to show you my version, Mock 3. I do have a couple trades. I have a team moving up, especially if the Texans don't take a quarterback at 2. You know, I do believe Arizona is going to trade back. So we'll see what happens. And if the Texans don't take a quarterback at 2, that's where all chaos, like the phone will be ringing, you know, in the war room. And I'd imagine Zona is going to move back. I also want to give you guys a sneak peek of the DraftKings odds, and we could have some fun with it. You know, we could use that mock. I know Jeff Ratcliffe just came out with his 3.0 version, and he used a lot of, you know, what he thought was going to happen, mixed in with what teams should do, what he thinks they'll do. And a lot of it was just based on Vegas, especially the first, you know, 10 or 12 picks or so. This player favored to be this pick at 8, this pick at 9, this pick at 10. And he kind of went that way. I'm a little bit different. I'm mixed in of what I do feel will happen with certain teams, but we'll get into it in a little bit. But I do want to show you guys just those top 10 picks and the odds and the players that are former. Oh, so right there, it's a little bit of a sneak peek. We'll revisit this and dive into a little bit detail in just a little bit, Quan, but I do appreciate you. That is just a little bit of a look. And you see Will Levis, I mean, 5-1 to be first pick and then plus 125 to be second. And then again at plus 130 to be the fourth pick off the board as well. It was Anthony Richardson yesterday when we were rolling through some of this, but I had to give some updates to George here this morning. Again, a lot to get to here on this show. Aaron Rodgers, now a member of the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers, now a member of the New York Jets, and we can stop talking about him being a member of the Green Bay Packers. I thought the Packers did pretty good here. The swap firsts, right? That's significant. They get pick 13, move up, right, from 15, 13. And then second pick, which is 42nd overall in this year's draft, they get a sixth round pick. And then the condition is key, 2024 second round pick condition. The condition here is that if Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps this season, which he will, unless he suffers an injury, which he has over the past couple seasons, he's missed a little bit of time. But if he plays over 65% of the snaps, that second round pick in 2024 becomes a first round pick. So the Jets, they get Rodgers, they get pick 15, and they get a fifth rounder in 2023. As you see there, Rodgers, just George, man, is super sharp here with Rodgers and Statue of Liberty. I'm already sick. I was just sick of talking about Rodgers over the past couple months, but now it's finally happened. It's all here. And, you know, like I said, I think the Packers did pretty good in this situation because everybody knew that they wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers. We had the report yesterday. I do believe you have that graphic as well that you can check up, Quan, if you want to. Just the report of, you know, the organization saying that they're going to move on. Like, this is from yesterday. We're moving on from a Hall of Fame quarterback. I literally today talked to Jordan Love about this and, quote, I'm like, the Packers rebuilt from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. What are we going to say? It's not a rebuild. Like, that is what that is. So it is Jordan Love time in Green Bay. It'd be jokes if they drafted a wide receiver in the first round because it's not what they did for Aaron Rodgers. And I actually expect it to happen. I expect them to take some players in this draft and help Jordan Love and surround him with talent. We'll all laugh about it, but Aaron Rodgers is, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback, has had success with, you know, some good wide receivers, albeit no first round picks. I think Mercedes Lewis is the only first round player that Aaron Rodgers ever thrown a touchdown pass to. But when you have a guy like that, he can kind of make it work, right? You want to build in other pieces, the defensively, offensive line, defensive players they've drafted over the years, especially early. So now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, you got a young quarterback in Jordan Love, and you want to surround him with some talented pieces, whether it's a tight end in the draft or a wide receiver in the first round or the second round. Christian Watson's a nice player. Romeo Dubs, I'm not completely sold on him, but a nice player. But they lose Alan Lazard. Randall Cobb is obviously, you know, a lot older, and I don't think he's with the team anymore. Maybe he follows Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, but I think that they are going to do some things in the draft to help out Jordan Love. But as of right now, 14-1 to win the Super Bowl, 9-1 to win the AFC, plus 250 to win the AFC East. Their win total is at 9.5. We'll go over all this stuff in a little bit. There's three games on the hard court tonight in the NBA. The Celtics can wrap up their series with the Hawks, a win against Atlanta. Denver can do the same against Minnesota, and the Clippers are down 3-1 in their series against the Phoenix Suns. Just so tough, right? With no Paul George to start the series and then Kawhi Leonard missing time. Russell Westbrook's had some moments here, but it's just too tough for the Clippers to get by. It could all be over for the New York Islanders tonight in Carolina. They're down 3-1, only three games on the ice tonight. Dallas and Minnesota, their series all tied up at 2, and then Edmonton and LA all tied up at 2 as well. So we have picks and props in the NHL, in the NBA. Also, a busy day around the diamond in Major League Baseball as well. We have some picks and some props. How about the Halos? They've blown seven games, seven blown saves already. We're not even through April, and they've already blown seven saves. It's the most in baseball. No surprises. Here we are again, just another night in Anaheim. They're down 7-0 to Oakland. They come all the way back, take an 8-7 lead, and then blow it in the ninth, and then lose an extras. It's crazy. Like, seven blown saves is a lot for 1 month. It's ridiculous. This team should be, they should have like four or five losses this year. They should be one of the best teams in baseball. The offense has been fine. They just cannot hold the lead. We're done talking about the Halos. It was cool. Let's relax here. Let's relax here on a Tuesday. Nothing but fun here on this show. Football, more football talk here next. And I see some people hanging out. So we'll address that in just a little bit. Keep her locked. A lot to get to here on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare. Welcome back in. So yes, Aaron Rodgers officially a Jet. You know, he does have to pass a physical on Wednesday. Wouldn't it be jokes if he did not pass that physical and then this trade does not happen? See some people hanging out. Want to say what up to the crew, Brzees 91. Bye-bye, Rodgers. Finally, good luck to the Jets. Deesh in the house. It's been a while. So, hey, football news happens. Deesh checks in. We do appreciate all the support, of course, on this show. I bet they'll be pretty good, but as a Packers fan, just need them to be bad. But he still plays 65% of the snaps. Yeah, it's kind of like the Colts when they acquired Carson Wentz and they had that condition he needed to play. I think it was like 75%. It was a high number of snaps that he needed to play. He did play it. But the Colts, I thought at there were moments of that season that I thought maybe the Colts would sit Carson Wentz and then they wouldn't have to ship a first round pick to Philly. But I do believe, yeah, bearing a major injury, that's a lock for a first-round pick for the Pack in 2024. Again, I really do feel like the Packers did a good job here because everybody knew Rodgers was out the door. He was going to leave. Everyone knew the Jets wanted him. And, you know, to get the swap of firsts and to get a second and also, again, potentially a first as well. I would say there is a greater than 65% chance that that second is a first-round pick. So we'll see how the Jets go about their draft. I got them, I think, taking an offensive lineman in the first round, which does make some sense. And Deesh never thought someone could be more annoying than Favre, but Rodgers did it. He topped it. Brett Favre, he topped it. Good afternoon, Means, and everybody here, Daily Handle, with Jordan Allen in the house as well. I'm excited about Jordan Love season. I really am. We obviously haven't seen a whole lot from him over the past few years, and it was certainly a curveball when the Packers decided to draft him first round. I think it was 26th overall. We saw some nice moments from him. Especially in the Philly game when the Eagles knocked out Aaron Rodgers, I thought we saw some nice moments from Jordan Love with Garrett Wilson. You know, my big takeaway from all of this is the Jets certainly are legit. Their defense is very, very strong. They won a lot of football games last year with a very bad play at the quarterback position. There's no question about it. Like, if they had some capable quarterbacks, they probably would have rattled off a couple more wins and maybe they find themselves in the playoffs. The defense is that good. I've really liked their drafts over the past couple of seasons. They've added a lot on both ends of the football. And last year, I mean, the offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson and the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall coming off an injury. He looks like a stud in the league as a true three down back. So there's a lot there to like about the Packers or about the Jets here. And, you know, I think initially, like, I like Garrett Wilson. I don't know how many shares I'm going to have of Garrett Wilson. Who's to say that Garrett Wilson is going to be Aaron Rodgers' guy? I mean, his go-to guy could be Alan Lazard. He's certainly very familiar with Alan Lazard, Nathaniel Hackett, now leaving Denver and going to the Jets as well. Very familiar. All three of those guys are very familiar with each other, being in Green Bay just a couple of years ago. So I like Garrett Wilson, as I mentioned. You know, if you have him in Dynasty, good on you. It's not the time to buy. It's the time to kind of field offers. Like, hey, I have Garrett Wilson here. Garrett Wilson last year was great as a rookie. He had multiple games with double-digit targets. There was times where he was really the only guy there, and they were force-feeding him, especially when Joe Flacco was under center, you know, force-feeding Garrett Wilson. It's certainly an upgrade for his stock. I don't know if he's going to get that type of volume, but this is how, you know, Dynasty works. It's like the stock market. It's like highs and lows. You got to make people available, you know, when they're at their high. Same thing, Tony Pollard. Like Tony Pollard, if I had Tony Pollard in Dynasty, I'd be making him available to everybody in my league. For one, the shelf life is super short for a running back. For two, people are desperate. You know, they'll be aggressive in trying to get a guy like Tony Pollard. Potentially, he's coming off an injury as well. There's no Zeke, but I think the Cowboys are going to pick a running back in the draft. May not be early, may not be Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs, but I think that they are going to address the running back position. I think they have to, don't they? Dak is still hopeful that they can make something work with Zeke. Maybe they bring him back cheaper, but I don't think it's going to be just Tony Pollard's backfield, but you got to make these guys available and see what you can get. That's what it's all about. That's why Dynasty is so fun. So I would be looking to sell Garrett Wilson, but you don't need to trade him. But again, now is not the time to buy Garrett Wilson. All right. So as I mentioned, where does everybody think the Packers rank in the AFC? I still think it's KC, Cincinnati, Buffalo, And then I probably go Jets. Do you have the win total, Quan? Do we still have that in the back end here? If you do, that's great. Look at this guy all over it. So the win total has not changed for the Jets. It's still 9.5, but it is minus 134 to the over at Bet Rivers, at FanDuel and BetMGM. I'm seeing minus 130 to the over 9.5 wins. It's a very tough conference. It's a very tough conference with really good quarterback play. Chiefs, Bengals up at the top for me, Bills right there. And then I would put the Jets in the same tier as these teams. Chargers at 10.5, it's really high. You know, they had a nice season last year in year number two with Trevor Lawrence. You got Calvin Ridley there. I really do think that their offense can go toe-to-toe with any offense in the league. Zay Jones is an underrated wide receiver, and Christian Kirk is good, and Travis Etienne is going to see some shallow boxes this year as opposed to maybe last year as a rookie, right? When you got all those weapons and Evan Ingram they brought back. So there's a lot of weapons there. I still think, you know, the offensive line definitely has some issues. They're not great at protecting Trevor Lawrence, and the defense has got some holes as well. And I do believe that they are going to take a couple. I got them taking a corner or safety here in the first round. I think that they are going to address the defense position, but the Chargers, you know, offensively on paper, still really good, but you can't really just say that because they've had a lot of injuries on paper. They've been amazing over the past couple of seasons, but they have to put it all together. They just have not been able to do that. But I'd say that the Jets are on that same tier with I'd even put the Dolphins in here, right? There's with Tua, the status of Tua, I have some concerns about him staying healthy as a quarterback, and I hope he does. But this is a Dolphins team that, you know, arguably the best 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They brought back all the running backs. You know, the defense is going to be better. There's a strong 1-2 punch at the cornerback position, right? They got Jalen Ramsey. It's an improved defense for sure. And it's a really good Xavier Howard had a bad season, but, you know, he's got potential, and that's a really solid. The practices should be fun in Miami, right? With those two corners and those two wide receivers. But they almost went into Buffalo last year and won a game with Skylar Thompson. Let's be honest about that. They almost did. So same tier for me with the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Jets. I put the Jets slightly ahead of those two teams. But also, we should the Browns, right? 9.5. Like, look at all these teams in the AFC. The Browns are in there, you know, another year here for, and just a handful of games with Deshaun Watson with Cleveland. And, you know, they bring in Elijah Moore as a nice buy low. Right? That's how you do it. Dynasty, fantasy, it's the same sort of deal. Like, they bought low and Elijah Moore, young wide receiver, has only been in the league for a minute, and, you know, some off-field issues and some issues with the Jets, and they go buy low, and it didn't really cost them a whole lot to get Elijah Moore. But all those teams inside the AFC, they're all loaded. And then, you know, if the Ravens find a way to work things out with Lamar, you know, that win total will jump up to 9.5. The Steelers are on the rise. You got to feel like the Broncos will have a better season for sure with Sean Payton there calling the shots in Denver. So the AFC, man, it is going to be tough. If I'm picking right now for playoff teams, I'd have the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, the Jags, the Jets, the Chargers. That's six right there. It's just going to be an absolute bloodbath for the rest of these teams to try to get in. Things are a lot clearer inside the NFC. I think that there's just three legit contenders in the NFC. I think it's the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. I certainly think the Seahawks over 8.5. I like it, Jordan, over 8.5 there. Right. Last year they were 4.5 and they cruised past that. But I think they're going to get two really solid players in the draft as well. And they have a top 10 pick, which is courtesy of Denver, right, in that big trade for Russell Wilson. So, you know, the Giants are on the rise. The Saints, good defense, bringing in Carr. And the Lions are on the rise as well. But I still believe, like, the Niners, the Eagles, and the Cowboys are the only really legit Super Bowl contenders inside the NFC, and you can make a lot of cases for some teams there inside the AFC. And I think it's going to be a long year in Arizona at 5.5. I know, like, that's a low number, but, man, first-time head coach and Jonathan Gannon, you know, Kyler is coming off the injury. I still think Hopkins is going to get traded. They got a lot of holes on that roster. I think it's going to be a long season in Arizona. I would lean to the under the 5.5 when it comes to the Cardinals win total. I think we're going to take another quick break here, and we're going to dive into my mock as well as some NFL draft odds of where some of these players are going to go, where they're going to go. We'll be back in a couple. A lot of NFL talk here. And it's exciting, just 2 days away from the NFL draft. Oh, and by the way, we'll be with you We'll be with you through the entire NFL draft. Day one, Randall, myself, with some guests from FTN and outside of FTN as well. Benny Ricciardi, Adam Pfeiffer, Dane Martinez. We have the Pope, Jeremy, joining us as well. We have Jake Seeley is going to join us on that opening day. We have some beat reporters that are going to join us as well. And on day two, we'll be with you through the entire draft as well. It'll be kind of fast-paced in terms of picks, but it'll be great. I'm really looking forward to both days, but a lot of fantasy spin on day two because we'll see more running backs off the board. We'll see some other wide receivers off the board as well. And it's going to be it'll be a fun couple of days. And our guy George and Quan are putting in a lot of work. The show is going to be beautiful, like it has been in each of the past 2 years. And we hope that you guys can join us throughout the show and hang out with us as well. We'll be back in a couple. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL draft props here next on Mean Streets. Hang tight. Welcome back in. I didn't really talk about the Packers win total. Brzees91 mentions the under here, under 7.5 wins for the Packers to say 5 or 6 praying. He's wrong. So you are correct in the total. So it hasn't changed. 7.5. The under is significantly juiced at Bet Rivers at -150, FanDuel -124, and BetMGM -120. The over, of course, plus money across the board, +120 at Bet Rivers. I'd say I would lean with the under as well. I think Jordan Love could be a decent fantasy quarterback. He certainly got an alpha wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, and I think they will take somebody in the draft. So, they got two solid running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I think where we see the biggest hit would be on a guy like Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been such a focal point in the offense over the past couple of seasons, especially with Aaron Rodgers. The touchdowns have dried up. The rushing touchdowns have certainly dried up. He had a couple of years of like back-to-back. It's like a touchdown machine. Dude has a nose for the end zone. But I think, Dylan is ready to take over as the lead, I believe, on the ground and certainly inside the goal line. But I think the biggest hit was just like that rapport that Aaron Rodgers had with Aaron Jones is significant. And now a young quarterback, we'll see how that does play out, but certainly those guys will fall down draft boards opposed to where Rodgers was with the squad. Jones would go a little bit higher. I do believe he's going to start to fall down draft boards for sure. I'm going to here's the Jets schedule. Now we don't have the exact dates, of course, we're waiting on that, but we do have the opponents. Let's just kind of count these wins out. It's still fairly early. Things need to happen in the draft, and things will happen throughout the season. But let's say they're going to play Washington at home. I give them a dub. I give them a dub against Washington at Cleveland. Oh, wait, is that – that says preseason at Cleveland, so we'll forget that one. What website am I on here? Come on. Okay, Dallas Cowboys at Dallas. I mean, that's tough. That's a tough one. I don't give them a win there. I'll give them a win at Denver. They're not winning both of those. I give them two wins. At Las Vegas, they'll win that one. At Miami, that's tough. I mean, obviously, they get the two games against Miami, the two against Buffalo, and two against New England. I'll give them three. I say they split with everyone. Let's just give them three. What are we at there? So one against Washington, one against Dallas, the three inside the division. There's five. They'll beat the Raiders. There's six. Giants at Giants. That's fun, right? MetLife at New York to face the Giants. They will be the road team there. I give them a win. There's seven. Let's see. Kansas City. There's a loss. I say they lose to Kansas City. I say they lose to the Chargers. I say they lose to the Eagles. Cleveland. So they do play Cleveland preseason and regular season. Say that's a win against Cleveland, win against Houston, win against Atlanta. That's kind of right there at that nine, right? And I was kind of, certainly they could beat the Eagles and they could beat the Eagles, the Chargers, and they'll hang with Kansas City as well. But it's tough, man. That AFC is super tough. It's not easy to sweep the division. Let's also be real about Aaron Rodgers and the age coming off of his worst season in a long time, throwing picks, especially inside the red zone. Accuracy wasn't there either. So change of scenery, tougher conference, tougher division. It's not going to be easy for Rodgers. I'm kind of feeling like it might be a letdown. I think it might be a letdown. Some tough opponents on that schedule as well. Jay Phillips in the house. What's up, Meanie? What do you think about these soft calls so far in the NHL playoffs? We could talk for days about the roughing in the NHL. You just really want consistency. I think if it's a penalty in the second, it's a penalty in the third, it's a penalty in overtime as well. Like the penalty last night on Mikhail Sergachev in front of the net, it was certainly a penalty. You got to call that on William Nylander. He's all alone in front of the net in the slot, and it was, you know, looking like a scoring chance there for William Nylander. They called a penalty. The Leafs, you know, get some momentum on the power play, and the game's over. I mean, credit to the Leafs. We'll get into the hockey in just a little bit, so maybe we can address that a little bit more. There's been some soft calls. It's just consistent. It's tough. It's really tough to be a ref in the NHL. I've tried it. I got some buddies that have refed at a high age, high competitive hockey, and, you know, WHL and things like that. It's really tough. It's really tough. You just want consistency. I think that's it. The call in Fiala the other night. Yeah. The call in Fiala the other night is BS. It was. And it's kind of worked both ways. There's been some shadiness on both sides, but really ultimately what I would like to see as a fan is just consistency. You got to call it in overtime. I would like the whistles to be just straight up tossed away and just let them play, especially in overtime. But and like, I'm contradicting myself. If it's a penalty in the first and second, you got to call it. If you're calling it, you set the tone right away. If it's a penalty early on, halfway through the game, it's a penalty the rest of the way. And that's the tone that's set. And players kind of live by that as well. If they're getting away with it in the first half of the game, they expect to get away with it, you know, in the later part of the game. And if they're not early, then maybe they'll be a little bit more conservative with how aggressive they are. I think that the series in Boston and Boston and Florida has been very intense. And I think the refs have done a decent job with that as well. You know, the scrum stuff is like last night there was a scrum. And how does Tampa get the penalty? The Leafs get on the power play. Like that to me, did anyone see that? There's a scrum in front of the net. And instead of taking both, they take one. And refs do that sometimes. They say, listen, that's it. We don't want any of this stuff. After every whistle, I'm going to take one guy. And then that stuff just doesn't happen as much after the whistle because nobody wants that penalty. But yesterday there was a play, there was a scrum where a Tampa guy gets the penalty when really it should have been both or neither. But that sort of stuff is silly as well. Yeah, Phillips is agreeing. I kind of feel like I'm talking in circles here, but you agree with me. Game three of the Avs and Kraken, they were letting those boys play that night. Absolutely. Let them play. Let them play. We'll get into the hockey here in the next block. I got some stuff, got some takeaways. Again, only three games on the ice, so we'll get into it here shortly. But here's a look at the NFL draft pick odds from DraftKings. You can get a little bit of something from this, maybe not. But yesterday, Bryce Young was minus 2,000, right, to be the first pick off the board. It's changed a little bit here. Will Levis is now 5-1 to be the second pick off the board. CJ Stroud, 25-1. Remember when I was like, hey, CJ Stroud, we got him at 5-1 to be the first pick off the board. Gotta love it. Now you can get him at 25-1. Anthony Richardson at 35-1. Quentin Johnson there at 100-1 to be the first pick. Wouldn't that be shocking if that was the way that Carolina went? It's not going to happen. But Bryce Young there, I do believe he is going to be the first pick. And, you know, we've seen reports of him canceling meetings with other teams. So it does seem to be locked in that Young will be the guy to go first overall, and Carolina will get themselves a quarterback. And you know what? Listen, they've made a lot of changes in the offseason, bringing in Miles Sanders, bringing in Adam Thielen, bringing in DJ Chark. They got still a young wide receiver that I believe in Terrace Marshall. So it's a very different offense this year. No DJ Moore, no Christian McCaffrey. So a very different offense in Carolina, but I do believe they're going to get themselves a franchise quarterback in Bryce Young. And you saw the rest there. Will Levis was favored to be number two. Will Levis, again, favored to be pick four. How does that work? I'm not really sure. Plus 125. I think the Texans, I don't know what the Texans, I mean, I don't know. I've always thought that they should take CJ Stroud at two. They should get a quarterback. Maybe they just feel like if they don't go the quarterback route, maybe they just feel like they'll be in the quarterback conversation next year at this time as well. Let's be honest about this Texans squad. There's a lot of holes. So DeMeco Ryans could get himself, you know, first time head coach could get himself a key defensive player that, you know, is a staple for years to come. And they're going to have another pick at 12. Maybe a quarterback falls to them. Maybe they are just here again, as I would say they are. We just gave the win totals near the bottom to all the teams. I'd say that they're in the conversation again as a top pick to get a quarterback. So maybe they aren't in love with anybody after Bryce Young, so they could take a defensive player. Other players on that list, you saw Bijan Robinson at pick 8 plus 200 to go to the Falcons. Jalen Carter, of course, some off-field stuff falling down the board here, potentially at plus 275. Everybody has the Eagles taking an offensive lineman. DraftKings certainly does think that Skoronski will be the first or the 10th pick here, and the Eagles do own that 10th pick. We'll talk about the mock that I have in a little bit, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles actually traded back a little bit. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback, and then Witherspoon, cornerback as well, you know, to the Lions there at pick six, and then pick seven to the Las Vegas Raiders, and then Anthony Richardson at pick five. You know, I don't think Seattle is going to go that way. They have that pick, and Will Levis at pick four for the Colts. I think the Colts will take a quarterback unless somebody jumps up and it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Maybe they're not in love with that quarterback four. You know, they've had multiple six, I think, different quarterbacks since Andrew Luck announced his retirement, at least six since 2019, right? You can go through the veteran quarterbacks, like patchwork, what they've tried to do. You know, Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan and Nick Foles and Jacoby Brissett. And geez, I think there's another veteran quarterback. Phillip Rivers is the other one. They've had multiple veteran quarterbacks just trying to figure it out. And maybe, you know, maybe this isn't the year that they get a quarterback that they like, but I think they got to address it. I think they got to address it at four. And even if it's Anthony Richardson, even if CJ goes ahead or Will Levis goes ahead, I think Anthony Richardson is a guy that could be coached up, and there's a lot of dual threat quarterbacks in the league having success. The game has changed a little bit. And I do believe that Steichen's a pretty good head coach and a quarterback's coach. And I think he could do similar things with Anthony Richardson in the future that he's doing, or that he did with Jalen Hurts as well. Where do I think Stenson Bennett goes? Some crazy props out there on certain sites, no question. I don't think he's a first round quarterback. I think he's more of like a, you know, a second round, round three. I think that there's a couple teams that maybe could take a shot on him, like maybe a Washington or a Tampa, maybe a Minnesota, maybe it's a Raiders. I don't think he's a first round pick. In fact, I'll show you my mock here after the break, but I think that was it, right? There's not a lot of huge takeaways for me in terms of just the draft pick odds. We do have some props over at ftmbets.com, and we'll have a few more. Yeah, fifth rounder is probably fair, right, for Bennett. I'd say maybe earliest would be third for him, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be anything spectacular in the NFL. But we're going to break, and I'm going to show you my mock, and we'll pick it apart. We'll walk through this together as a team. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Here's the mock draft version 3.0. I do have a trade again. So this is not what I think teams should do. This is what I think teams will do. So I got Bryce Young, of course, at number one. I've come off of this because of the meetings. I really am a big believer in CJ Stroud. He's my second favorite quarterback in this draft. I think, you know, what he did in college against Georgia, I think he's smooth. I think he's, I think his placement is pinpoint. I think it's just a lot of aspects that I like in a quarterback. I think he brings to the table, and I think he's got the smarts as well. But, you know, there are some reports. I mean, this guy potentially could fall outside the top 10. Some people don't seem to like him. Some meeting stuff that he's missed, some off-field stuff like that's kind of floating around, some rumors there for him. But nonetheless, I think that we will see. Yeah, man, Stroud he's got a great arm. He's extremely accurate. Yeah, I think he's got all the tools, to be honest with you. Daily Handle says, you know, he has got the arm and the arm strength and the accuracy, kind of chiming in here on live on the show. But I think that the Texans are the wild card team here. As I said in the last block, what are they doing? They take a quarterback. Maybe the only quarterback that they like is Bryce Young, and they decide, as I have them taking Will Anderson here at pick number two. So they get a solid defender and a staple that could be with the team for several years. And they're here as a top five team next year, maybe for a second. Do you remember when they won that game, Lovie Smith at the end? Like, these guys should be picking first overall. Like, they tried to get that W at the end of the Lovie Smith was probably just saying, screw you guys. Like, I'm going for this win. And then he was let go, and just crazy. Like, these guys should be picking first. Like, they blew it. They blew it. They should have first overall pick. They should have Bryce Young. Anyways, if they don't take a quarterback, the only guy they liked is Bryce Young, and they decided to go with Will Anderson Jr., I think that's where chaos could happen. You know, Arizona has so many holes. They're not taking a quarterback. They should trade back, just like Chicago traded back and got all these pieces. They should trade back as well. There's teams that could trade up. We could see the Colts trade up one spot. That's possible. We could see Detroit trade up. I think that's possible. I think the Raiders are in play to move up. I also think that, as you see, the Titans are in play to move up. I really do feel like they're a team that that needs a quarterback for the future. I think they need a lot. I do believe the rumors of Derrick Henry potentially getting traded are true. I don't think it's going to happen in Philadelphia. I don't think that's a true rumor, but I do believe that they have shopped him. And could they move up and get themselves a quarterback? Because we know Tannehill doesn't have too much time left. He's getting a little bit older now. And, you know, last year, Malik Willis is just not that guy. I think they put him in a tough spot, certainly put him in a tough spot with very limited weapons surrounding him and in a situation where he needed to win a game. And then they went to Dubs. Like they just don't have the next man up after Tannehill. But they also need like help defensively. They need help on the offensive line. They need a wide receiver, right? They can't just have Treylon Burks. They need somebody else. So they could stay at 11 and pick a wide out or an offensive lineman. I got them kind of being aggressive here and moving up to 3. I think that the pick 3 will be Stroud if he's not pick 2. That's kind of where I'm at here. Anthony Richardson to 4. Tyree Wilson falls down to Seattle at 5. You know, Detroit traded their cornerback just to the Falcons just a couple weeks ago. So I got them taking Witherspoon here. The Raiders are a wild card team as well. I think that Jimmy G, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, clearly. He's won a lot of football games in the NFL, but I think that Josh McDaniels probably believes that he has a team that could win and compete now, and he is not looking to get a quarterback to kind of groom in a couple years. Yeah, it'd be nice to get a quarterback behind Jimmy G. You can learn a lot from Jimmy G. Jimmy G's been around. He knows the system clearly. He's been behind Tom Brady. He's won a lot of football games, done a lot of good things in the NFL. But I think that McDaniels is thinking that he has himself a team that can compete now, and he doesn't want to go through that rebuild process. And I think they're going to take a corner. There's a lot of holes in this Raiders team. Certainly defensively, there's a lot of holes. I think that they're going to take a cornerback, and that's where I have them taking a corner. Can we bring up that mock again just one time? I'm going to rapid fire through the rest of this. The Falcons are interesting as well. I know a lot of people have them taking Bijan Robinson, and we just talked in the last block about Bijan Robinson being 2-1 to be pick number 8 there. And Bijan Robinson is favored, according to DraftKings, to be a Falcon at +200, Eagles at +300, Falcons at 5-1. The Bears is interesting at 10-1, Cowboys at 10-1, and the Chargers there at 12-1 as well. So Atlanta, they could go corner. Maybe they don't like Ritter. I think they like Ritter. They're also a team that could potentially trade up if a quarterback does fall to them. Maybe they think about it, but they need to get pressure on the quarterback. And I got them taking Nolan Smith. I like Nolan Smith, I think, a lot more than other people do. I see him kind of middle of the pack here, late first round pick. I think he's a massive weapon and get some pressure on the quarterback. I think defensively, Atlanta should address that side of the ball here in the draft. Jalen Carter falling down here. You know, they could go offensive lineman, but I got Carter falling down there at 9. Some off-field issues, but, you know, certainly on the field, this guy, you know, just 2 months ago, we were talking about him being second overall pick. I got the Eagles taking an edge player here, Van Nees, but, you know, they could go offensive line. They just always go through the trenches. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about Bijan Robinson potentially being that guy, but they just build through the trenches for years. And, you know, Fletcher Cox and Graham, these guys kind of near the end of their career, brought back for another year. They could go offensive line, you know, with Jason Kelce coming back and Lane Johnson. I think they're set, but I got them taking Lucas Van Nees there, and then Arizona taking an offensive lineman. They could trade back to Arizona again. I got the Texans here at Will Levis with 12, so why not take him at 2? And, you know, but if they really like him, maybe they don't really like him. They're taking a defensive player, and all of a sudden he's falling down. We could see them address the quarterback position at pick 12, whether it's Levis or it's Stroud, or maybe taking a wide receiver. And in 2.0, I had them taking Jackson Smith and Jigba. But as you see there, I got the Packers taken. They finally, and we could all laugh about it, they finally take a wide receiver when Rodgers is gone, but helping out a young quarterback that's inexperienced, I think it makes a lot of sense. They're pretty thin at the wide receiver position for sure. And you can't just always say, when was the last time? When was the last time? You know, there's a first for everything. And DraftKings actually has Jackson Smith and Jigba favored to go to Green Bay at +300, the Pats at 450, the Bears at 5-1, and the Texans at +650 as well. So we'll see if the Texans do pass him. Maybe he goes there to Green Bay. Other skilled position players, you see some defensive players, offensive linemen here in the middle parts. It's kind of a wild card pick here for me. Dalton Kincaid to Detroit. you know, trading Hawkinson last year. I think they actually could go wide receiver as well with Jameson Williams suspended for a little bit. No DJ Chark there. I think it's possible. What I had originally was a corner and a safety. I could see Detroit taking a guy like maybe Nolan Smith or Jalen Carter, sixth overall, and then addressing the cornerback position with the 18th pick here. Whether it is Deontay Banks or Brian Branch, safeties there. It's possible. We'll see. Detroit is interesting to me, but, you know, get another weapon in the offense. I got Miles Murphy. So that's two edge players for Seattle. Maybe they don't go that route. We'll see what happens with pick five, but I think that was terrific value there. I got Bijan Robinson to the LA Chargers. I don't think that they're going to re-up at the running back position with Austin Eckler. So I got Robinson there at pick 22. I got Baltimore taking wide receiver with Quentin Johnson. Like, get another wide receiver. It's some help there. I know Odell's just not enough. Get some more help. I think Jacksonville will take a defensive player. I think, you know, there's other mocks that have Minnesota taking a quarterback here. I got them getting some defensive help. They need a safety or a corner help for sure. Zay Flowers to the Giants at pick 26. Michael Meyer to the Cowboys there at pick 27. You know, I do believe a tight end will be something that they're going to go after in this draft. I think the Bills are going to be after a wide receiver. I think it'd be a great get there. Jordan Addison to them as well. I had Jahmyr Gibbs originally, but I think ultimately they need some offensive line help. Still, Burrow was on his butt way too often last year. So get some offensive line help there. The Saints, Ringo falling down to them a little bit. And I got the Eagles taking Gibbs. They may take an offensive lineman. I had penciled in Harrison there as an offensive lineman. I also like a couple edge defenders that they could get there. So if they go offensive lineman at pick 10, I could see it. But they actually don't have a lot of picks in this draft, and they have a ton next year. So I could see them trading back. I do believe they are going to draft a running back in this draft. I think that they are. That's the way that I personally would like to see them go, maybe later on, round two, three, or four. I definitely don't think that they should spend a top 10 pick on Bijan, although it would be really nice. But I got Gibbs to them right now at pick 31. So we'll have some fun. Tomorrow we'll do some draft odds and draft props as well. But we'll definitely take a look at that next week and see how wrong I am indeed. But I am excited about the draft. It's a couple days away. We're going to turn the page right now. We got some NHL picks and props. We're also going to wrap up the show with some MLB props. And we'll take a look at the NBA bracket. So still a lot more to get to here on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. Let's take a look here at the NHL bracket. So last night, I mean, a big win for the Leafs. I mean, talked about it a lot on Dango Batselli. Huge win, right? I mean, I don't think they had any business winning game 3 or 4 in Tampa. I thought Tampa was the better team, especially in game 3. But this is maybe a different feel here for the Leafs. You know, last couple of years, they've lost those games that they should have won, and they haven't been able to find a way to win those games. But Samsonov has been better than Vasilevskiy, which is something we thought could happen before the playoffs started. We said that the gap in goal has changed. This is a significant upgrade going from, you know, Jack Campbell to Samsonov. I mean, he's been really good. He's been solid. He's made some big saves, especially I thought in game 3, and the game could have been out of hand if, you know, Tampa scores a couple of those goals. But anyways, the Leafs come back last night, a strong third period from them. You know, we've seen them blow three goal leads in the third period, and we've seen them lose some heartbreaking games. But now a big W from last night, and Jay Phillips, man, I bet the Leafs, and I thought it was dead in the water. Absolutely thought so as well. But, you know, three goals in the third period and then again in overtime. So this does feel a little bit different. This is a team that's finding ways to win hockey games when maybe they shouldn't. So a big W for them last night. The Kraken get it done. And Cale Makar is going to get a suspension here today for his hit on Jared McCann. He's going to be suspended at least one game, I would say. So Colorado may be in trouble here. Even though they go back home Mile High, that series all knotted up at 2 games apiece. Winnipeg is definitely in trouble with Josh Morrissey done for the rest of the playoffs, and Mark Scheifele suffered an injury last night and did not return, so they're in trouble. And we got the Oilers and the Kings happening tonight, and that series tied at 2, and Dallas and Minnesota tied at 2 as well. And I do believe the Oilers should go with Jack Campbell. It was a nice spark that they gave him, some saves late in that game and into overtime. So I think they ride with Jack Campbell, and I think it should be Jack Campbell, but I know he hasn't been great in the regular season, but it's a new season, so we can see what happens there. The Rangers are really struggling to find offense at 5-5. Before last night, Patrick Kane led the team in shots at 5-5 with 7. That's it, 7 through 3 games, and he was their guy last night again as well, putting pucks on net. Where's Mika Zibanejad? Needs to show up. Panarin, need ya. Like, these guys need to show up, and the series is back to New Jersey with the road team winning all of those games. Here's the props for tonight. I really like Tyler Seguin. Tyler Seguin, we've been riding this guy over the past little bit. Two goals in game four. He's got 3+ shots in all four games of the series. Got 3 points over his last three. Really just, we've seen an increase in ice time, shot attempts, and production with the injury to Joe Pavelski up on that top line. Dallas going to get some of the last change at home. So some better matchups for them as well. But I like Seguin over 2.5 shots at -134. I like him for a point at -113. He's 2-1 as well for an apple and assist tonight. So I think that top line will have a lot of success. I'll probably go back to Miro Heiskanen and Rupe Hintz and Jason Robertson. I think actually they're all in play. And I like Boldy on the other side. Adrian Kempe didn't hit in the last game, but this is a guy that's averaging 5.1 shots over his last 11 playoff games, and all 11 have come against the Oilers. He does lead the series in shot attempts. Kevin Fiala came back and, you know, he cleared 2.5 shots, and I believe he is in play as well. But I'm going to go with here Adrian Kempe, because he's had at least 3 shots in all of those 11 playoff games, and he is just an absolute animal, loves to shoot the puck, and he's finding soft areas against the Oilers as well. Brent Burns has cleared in 3 of 4, both home games back home. Brent Burns +105. I got McDavid and Natchez in a parlay there at +178. Natchez in play at over 2.5. A little bit juice to take as a single. That's from DraftKings. Hyman an assist at +110. Evander Kane at -134. Evander Kane's been really good as well. Points in 3 of his last 4 games. 9 shots on goal over his last 2. So that's what I'm rolling with here tonight. I think that the under is the play between Carolina and New York. I do believe New York will force another game in the series. I think Edmonton will win. I like the over. I mean, 3 straight overtime games as well. I like the over in that, even though it's kind of been a low scoring series for the most part. And then I am in on Dallas in the under. I think the Stars take care of business. We got a couple MLB props here next to round out Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Quan, you want to check up the NBA bracket? I do have a prop here on the way out. I think all three series will be over tonight. I think that the Suns will win. I think that the Nuggets will win, and I think that the Celtics will win as well. I think they'll all be over here tonight. I like Terrence Mann for over 1.5 three-pointers made at +190 over at DraftKings. He actually has 3 straight games with at least 2 threes made, 2 for 2, 2 for 4, and 3 for 4. The minutes have jumped up to 24, 26, and 30 in his last game with the Clippers shorthanded. Listen, 2 threes for +190? Absolutely love it. I'm all over that one. That's at DraftKings. FanDuel has +190, but MGM is +180, and Caesars has +178. So for just 2 threes here from our guy, Mr. Man, double N. O's over 4.5 runs. We said yesterday, don't bet the Red Sox, just bet overs. Over 4.5 runs for Baltimore here against Corey Kluber. Listen, Corey Kluber, 3 starts this season. He's allowed 4 homers, 4 walks, 12 earned runs, and 13 hits. He's failed to pitch out of the 5th inning. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Command is spotty. And I like this Baltimore team. I think that they're pretty solid offensively. And on quickly on the way out, Rangers money line against Cincinnati and Braves. We had that yesterday. Run line, they won 12-0. I like them against Miami as well. Charlie Morton on the bump. I think they'll win by a couple runs. That's at -110. If you're looking for more, check out ftnbets.com/free. Good luck on the ice, around the diamond, on the hard court. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.